all of these male celebrities launching nail polish brands like Machine Gun Kelly, Tyler, the Creator, Harry Styles, and also having ambassadors. I think Undone Lacquer enlisted the basketball player Jalen Green as its newest ambassador. So all of these founders are showing, and these ambassadors, really represent a diverse array of males and showing that it's cool and it's sexy to wear nail polish.
Yes, this episode is all about makeup for men. You're listening to Create Tomorrow. I'm your host, Bethan Ryder, Executive Editorial Director at WGSN. And I'm joined today by our Head of Beauty, Sienna Piccioni, and our Senior Strategist on Fashion, Nick Padgett. Welcome, everyone. We thought it was time to revisit masculinity. We last discussed this in our Redefining Masculinity podcast a few years ago, episode 31, if you'd like to listen back. In that, we spoke a lot about the effects of the pandemic, TikTokization, Guinness ads, bro bathing, and how stereotypical notions of masculinity were being challenged and fracturing, particularly for young Gen Z men. So we were prompted to pick this topic up again because of the rise of men's makeup and beauty. And I wanted to start with what's happening within the beauty industry. Sienna, you've been tracking this and the rise of cosmetics and beauty brands for men. So can you tell us a bit more about what you're seeing right now?
Well, recently we've seen men's makeup definitely pick up the pace. What we're seeing at the moment is a strong dichotomy between men's makeup brands doing very subtle cover-up makeup. So concealers, foundations, just covering up any kind of imperfections that they feel that they may have. And then we're also seeing really kind of bold aesthetics seen primarily online with makeup influencers, MUAs. But recently we're starting to see these lines blur. And I think we're starting to see these lines blur because we're starting to get more of a normalization of men who want to look good and feel proud in their appearance. One driver that we've seen is this rise in Botox. So Botox has now become the number one cosmetic procedure requested by men, and it had a real boom during the pandemic, obviously everyone seeing themselves on screens one day online. And the kind of epitome of this is Joe Jonas, who did a recent ad for Xeomin, which is a type of wrinkle reducing injectable, really normalizing the conversation of wanting to look good, wanting to look radiant, wanting to look healthy. And also, we're seeing a rise in male hair transplants. A lot of celebrities have got them. And there's a recent study that now one in every 13 men have actually undergone hair transplant surgery. So we're really seeing a rise in men seeking high performance products really to enhance their appearance. And we actually have a study that was done post-pandemic by Hypebeast that found that 56% of men cited improving their appearance as a motivation to purchase grooming products.
I think that's really interesting, actually. Even anecdotally, I'm seeing this, right? So my hairdresser has had a hair transplant. So like, I actually know someone that's done this. And I also have a friend who's a journalist who did a piece recently for the Telegraph newspaper, which very much represents Middle England. And he did a piece about tweetments and having things done to his face. So if it's reached Middle England, then it's definitely a thing, right? So, I mean, historically, of course, we've always had men dabbling with makeup anyway. In the 70s, we had Bowie in makeup. In the 80s, if anyone listening can remember, we had the New Romantics, which is a really strong look. But I think it's really interesting how this seems to differ today. Nick, can I come to you? It's a little bit different, isn't it, what we're seeing right now?
Yeah, it's more stealthy, isn't it? I mean, there's no shortage of makeup brands aimed at men. But I think thanks to social media, a lot of these brands are direct to consumer and they're just on social media. So thanks to targeting advertising, not everybody is seeing the same stuff. And it doesn't, you know, you're not seeing this advertised on TV at prime time. And it's not the topic of conversation for the masses exactly. And I think there's something about men wanting to blend in and not appear to be wearing makeup as well. So things like bronzers are definitely really well ingrained in everyday sort of male grooming routines, but not many people are talking about that. They're sort of keeping it under wraps. I think the people who dare to stand out are outliers, but they're increasingly visible in the workplace, you know, in the service industries, in retail, for example. You see things like nail varnish worn a lot. Certainly in my experience in the UK, I see that a lot, and people, you know, people wearing lipstick more often. And maybe it's like some kind of like a new subcultural event that wearing makeup isn't like, might not be widely accepted in the mainstream, but it's sort of gaining this almost underground popularity, but it's very, it is out there in the open. It's just a bit more unspoken, but it feels like it's sweeping into the mainstream for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Walking around London, I often see men wearing makeup, just going about their everyday business. It's not like a big statement anymore. So, Sienna, is this the TikTok influence again?
So we've seen recently on TikTok a real boom in influencers, especially makeup, male makeup influencers doing Get Ready With Me. So whether they're going out on a date or to a party and talking their followers through their makeup routine, a lot of them are doing very kind of natural, flawless aesthetics, but they're still using a lot of products. So that kind of faux no makeup makeup look, using kind of concealers, bronzers, foundations, brow pencils, even a little bit of mascara as well. A TikTok influencer who I really love, his name is Zach Keith, and he does these really kind of beautiful, flawless makeup tutorials, and they regularly hit over 500,000 views. And we've seen this also with brands as well. So brands like Fivism 3, who are based in Japan, and also Chinese cosmetics brand Shake Up Cosmetics, who actually have just recently launched in-store and Boots. They're really catering to this aesthetic with complexion boosting makeup. It's really lightweight, but they also have skincare ingredients in it as well. And what I really like about these brands is that they're offering makeup to a male audience, but without this like super blokey uber mask language and rhetoric, normalizing it, but they're also doing it in a way which isn't super polarizing and isn't kind of promoting that very old rhetoric.
Yeah, so we actually talked about this a bit, Nick, on the last podcast, the way that marketing feels like it's got to speak to men in this really pragmatic, sort of blokey way.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like we sort of knew this, that was like the middle stage, right? It was like totally unacceptable for men to wear makeup for a very long period. And then as these brands sort of infiltrated, they sort of, yeah, they needed to have corporate colours that were super masculine and speak in that language. But I felt like we knew as trend forecasters that that's not where it was going to end, right? This conversation was going to evolve, and that gradually more sort of, not even feminine, but just less masculine, less sort of like butch, you know, identity for those products was going to come, definitely.
Actually, also, Sienna, is it as inclusive as makeup for women? Because that's something I know we're tracking with things like Fenty. So is it the same with men's makeup, or is it a little bit behind in male beauty cosmetics, would you say?
Yes, I do feel like there's still a way to go. I think that the male beauty industry is still a couple of years behind the more kind of feminine beauty industry. I would say that a lot of the concealers, the base makeups, there's still quite a limited shade range across the board. I do feel like there are brands who are trying to break that mold, but I think the first step is trying to get men's makeup into a normalized setting, into, you know, your everyday shops, for people to use it. And then it will probably evolve into being more inclusive. I think what we're seeing at the moment is a lot of brands in the melanated, making skincare for melanated skin for men. So we're seeing a lot of male grooming brands who have come to the fore, who are creating skincare products for men of color that will help with, you know, hyperpigmentation, with shaving rash, and have, you know, really clean ingredients. So we're seeing it move in the skincare space. So I feel like, you know, very soon we're going to see it move into the men's makeup space.
Great. Nick, a quick one with you about the fact that you go to all the menswear fashion shows. Are you seeing a lot of influencers, people on the front row sporting their new makeup looks?
I'd say more weirdly, there's still a delineation between fashion shows and trade shows. At fashion shows, people definitely go all out, and they're, you know, they're there to impress. It's like the red carpet moment, you know, they're there to impress. And I think the same is true at trade shows. You know, you definitely have the pity peacocks, obviously. But historically, you know, even after 20 years for me of attending these events, it's still pretty rare for me to see men who present an effeminate or androgynous look anywhere. For a long time, someone wearing what would have been perceived as feminine colours or styles kind of drew the same mystified looks and like amusement that they would have on the streets of any given town. And I don't think that the men's fashion community has been particularly welcoming to anything other than quite conventional masculinity historically. And I see more makeup worn by men on the streets of Brighton where I live than I do around trade shows, I think. So I don't see it worn in an obvious sense. I think, like, you know, I mentioned before about nail varnish, that's the obvious exception. But I think that's kind of is this route for makeup and skincare, like this sort of blending in of like the wellness movement and this notion of self-expression that's really prevalent in men's apparel at the moment, that it's becoming much more okay for men to own that self-expression and to own their sort of slice of masculine identity as they wish to portray it. There's never been more choice, I would say, for men in that sense.
Yeah, which is surely only a good thing, right? So that's interesting, this sort of post-pandemic expression and a return to expressing yourself. That's also one of the drivers here as well, right, Sienna?
Yeah, we've seen like this post-pandemic outpouring of creativity. I think that a lot of men who spend a lot of time at home, you know, wanting to express themselves, were able to do so online, finding their tribe. And we've seen since the pandemic, especially amongst Gen Z consumers, a lot more creative expression, freestyle application of makeup, and expressing a fluid kind of self-identity, breaking the traditional gender norms. And we've seen this a lot with influencers and celebrities who, no matter their kind of gender or sexual orientation, are experimenting with makeup. A really great influencer who is doing this amazingly well is an Indian influencer called Siddhartha Batra. And he creates these beautiful kind of makeup looks with these amazing outfits. And he really challenges what it means to be an Indian man and really kind of breaking those traditional gender molds that have been placed in kind of traditional Indian society.
That point about the lockdown thing is crucial because it took men away from their peers who would have been hypercritical of this stuff for their, you know, for everyone else's amusement. So it just allowed men that space of and the comfort and reassurance of a more nurturing group maybe that were around them or maybe just on their own to forge that identity. I think that's really important.
You're listening to Create Tomorrow. I'm your host, Bethan Ryder, Executive Editorial Director at WGSN. And today I'm joined by Head of Beauty, Sienna Piccioni, and our Senior Strategist on Fashion, Nick Padgett. And we're discussing the rising trend of the uptake in makeup for men. We've spoken about the UK, and I wanted to get a more global perspective on this. So I'm really excited to welcome Jaehyun Park, who's new to our podcast. She's a youth fashion strategist based in Seoul, South Korea. So, Jaehyun, do South Korean men wear makeup or is it just the K-pop stars?
First of all, like as being a Korean and spending most of my life here, it's indeed fascinating to see how much the K-pop, K-culture has become a worldwide entertainment. But I do have to say that this just created a lot of misconceptions and stereotypes about Korean male image, basically. Because people who just only see Korean men through K-dramas and K-pop, like, and here I'm mostly referring to cisgender men, assume that like the looks of their like favorite stars or celebrities would be like common to see on the streets. In reality, it's actually not. Like men wearing makeup, fully accessorized, having like colorfully dyed hair, and etc. Like they are almost a genre of its own. And it's just a very small fraction of Korean male image, like very commercially produced by Korean entertainment business. So I don't think it is what you see for the majority of men here in Korea, I would say.
Yeah, so I think this sort of reflects also the Western culture celebrities as well. Like we've got Pharrell with his skincare brand and Brad Pitt launching a gender-inclusive skincare brand. And we covered this celebrity beauty surge last September in episode 61. But it really seems to be continuing. And presumably, Sienna, it's boosting the popularity, right?
Yes, I think even more so than celebrity beauty brands founded by females, actually. Because I think, you know, regular users, Jane said, of cosmetics is not particularly common in the male market yet. And so the launch of these celebrity brands have really kind of helped to normalize this, you know, making it okay to want to look after their skin, to wear concealer, you know, to wear nail polish. And as Nick said, you know, all of these male celebrities are launching nail polish brands like Machine Gun Kelly, Tyler, the Creator, Harry Styles, And also having ambassadors, I think Undone Lacquer enlisted the basketball player Jalen Green as its newest ambassador. So all of these founders are showing, and these ambassadors really represent a diverse array of males, and showing that it's cool and it's sexy to wear nail polish. And Lil Yachty also launched a nail polish brand called Creep, which unfortunately is now defunct. But the reason why he launched that nail polish brand was to help break the stigma and drop the barriers on men expressing themselves. Men's makeup brands, or males' nail polish brands, or male skincare brands have really helped men to kind of look at these celebrities and think, yeah, it's okay. Like, if these guys are doing it, they're super popular, they're super cool, they get, you know, all this attention, then I can do it too, and it's okay.
It's really interesting. It seems that we're moving to this place where people don't actually look real anymore. In makeup, I find people want to look more and more like avatars. And it ties in really with that filter that we saw recently, Bold Glamour, that got all this bad press. I mean, are people actually trying to recreate that in their makeup? I see it with women, this kind of flawless doll look. And do you think that's what men are doing now as well, Sienna?
I think partly that. I think there's a multitude of reasons. I think people, men, women, wanting to present the best version of themselves online. I also think as the job market gets more competitive, I think we see this as, you know, a lot of people now use their Instagram profiles or their LinkedIn profiles as a way of building their, you know, career profiles as well, that they want to present the most perfect image of themselves. I also think, and this is my personal view, you know, with my own friendship group and my peers, that dating apps have possibly changed the game, because so many people are now on dating apps. You have to have your image as the best like version of yourself.
Oh, I hadn't really looked at it like that. That's interesting. Jaehyun, can I bring you in here for your thoughts about this?
Yeah, but like people don't really use dating apps here, but mostly I think what I've noticed is that because it's still like considered Korea is still very conservative, and like you would rather go on like blind dates or set up by people you know, not like a random person online. So like most of the people online are actually foreigners.
And to round this topic up, Sienna, if I can come back to you.
I'm seeing with a lot of my peers, with a lot of my friends, that with the rise of dating apps and the importance of dating apps, that men want to bring the best version of themselves. Because if you go on a dating app, you have around 10 seconds, maybe less than 10 seconds to impress the opposite sex or the same sex. And then, you know, your window is gone. And so I think, you know, these dating apps, you have to, they're all image based. And like, even though people don't want to admit it, they're essentially, you know, you show a picture of yourself. If people like it, then they swipe right or they swipe left. So I feel like having this, looking good, having, you know, a flawless aesthetic is even more important now than ever.
That's a really good point, Sienna. I think this also taps into the fidgetal, which is something we talk about at WGSN. If you think about it, like how people are looking online, they're needing to be replicated IRL. So I think that's really fascinating. Anyway, I also wanted to explore the brands that we're impressed by. So could you tell me who's being really progressive in this space? And let's come to you first, Sienna.
So I absolutely love the South Korean gender inclusive brand called Lacquer, and they have the most wonderful imagery on their Instagram, showing men and women wearing their makeup. And what is really great about the brand is that a lot of their pigments and their color cosmetics, they start off sheer and then you can build upon the color. So for people who are trying makeup out for the first time, trying color out for the first time and a little bit unsure, it makes it super accessible. So you can go for a very kind of subtle look, or you could go as dramatic as you like. So it makes color cosmetics a lot less intimidating, especially for the male consumer. Another brand who is also doing this really well is Harry Styles' brand Pleasing. And they just did a collaboration with Marco Ribeiro, and they created these amazing pigments that you can use with your fingers for freestyle application. You can mix with water for different hues. Again, for those kind of first time consumers or people just want to try and experiment with makeup.
Jaehyun, I'm presuming you know the brand Lacquer. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I actually want to add a little bit more to the mention. Well, the Laka, it really promotes strongly themselves as a gender neutral beauty brand. And a lot of the campaigns, male models are featured wearing colored makeup. I do think there's a huge progress in this industry, like a wider range of audiences are being included in traditionally female dominant area. But again, Korea is still very like collective society, and like people want to blend in with the others, especially men. They are afraid of standing out. So like, which again proves why men are not too fond of dressing like K-pop idols, because like their aesthetic like clashes with people's desire to stay like low-key and stylish. So with these brands doing this sort of like progressive things, I think people, like men, are not really encouraged to wear makeup on a daily basis because of this. Like these like beautiful, flawless male models in front covers, I would say like at this moment, it's still like perceived as a fresh like marketing approach and like not much more than that, unfortunately.
It's really interesting how like the internet shopping and things like that, you know, that the idea that you don't have to go into a brick and mortar store and be seen buying cosmetics means that people can actually wear what they want and just pretend they are, you know, and not talk about it and not visibly wear those products. So it just kind of reinforces this thing that it remains kind of like a subculture almost, right? It's happening, but men aren't talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Gian, I know we've spoken about the level of grooming that Korean men will indulge in. So they might not be out and about wearing lots of makeup, but there is this real sense of taking care of themselves, isn't there? Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Again, Korea is a very like collective country, and like the whole society really pivots around the latest trends. People want to follow the latest trends and blend in with the others. So like regardless of gender, people just here generally take care of themselves more and care a lot more about their appearances. And this just makes Korean males basically take care of themselves much more in comparison with other regions. And yeah, like how Sienna and Nick has been saying, this sensitivity like manifests more so in like a very subtle way, like taking care for their skin complexion or getting professional facials and clinics, getting hair implants, like Sienna has mentioned earlier. Korean men are really conscious about their hair losing, I think more than any other regions. So it's kind of funny because my friend actually from London, and she was saying like, it's kind of funny how like there's no balding guys here. And I think a lot of the case, people have their hair, either like have their hair implants or like wearing wigs if they are balding. And a lot of males here actually get their eyebrows tattooed even for their more like articulated face impressions. So yeah, I would say it's definitely a more like serious business here among men, the whole beauty and taking care of themselves. And I think this is like the unique trait that Korean men or like East Asian males show that differs from traditional masculine demeanor.
That is fascinating about eyebrow tattooing. I wonder if that'll catch on here. Maybe it's already happening. Nick, we've spoken before about that type of blokey language. That's evolved, I expect, has it? Have we moved through that period now?
Yeah, I think we are. Yeah, we're coming out of the other side of that, definitely. Things are changing for sure. It's something like we're talking to our clients a lot about. They're really interested in how to target the male consumer now in this sort of shifted world, which is really fascinating for us to research and talk about as a team. And I think like while many brands are doubtless still really scared of alienating that conservative consumer that Jaehyun's talked about, there definitely seems to be a sort of quite a widely held understanding that change is coming. And certainly the data around how Gen Z identify when it comes to gender identity and sexuality spells out those big changes. But what's of interest to us now is how we talk to clients about the spectrum of masculinity and a more inclusive view of what it means to be a man. That's kind of the social narrative that brands are interested in and how they sort of put that around their offer, their products. So you've got like from social initiatives around expressing emotions, like sharing vulnerability and other wellness focused stuff, to the more kind of dynamic and forward thinking brands who are pitching gender inclusive designs. There's a lot going on. And then there's this really interesting intersection where some brands are gender inclusive, size inclusive, and are equitable, being ethical, trans-seasonal and sustainable. So that kind of feels like brands are like trying to get to the apex of how inclusive a brand can be, basically. So it's, yeah, exciting time for fashion in general.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about cosmetics, but I really want to touch on fragrance. Having spoken to Jaehyun earlier, I know it's been a big thing with men in South Korea, and we're seeing scentscaping and home fragrance on a massive uptick at WGSN. We've really been tracking this. We've just been in Milan. Scentscaping continues to sort of a big trend. But tell me in particular about the habits of men in South Korea and what's going on there, Jaehyun, with fragrance.
Yeah, I recognize that fragrance enthusiasm is like a worldwide trend right now, but I think it's really prominent here in Korea because these days, especially, it's so easy to spot like independent fragrance studios almost every corner on the streets of Seoul. And these shops are actually owned by male perfumers a lot of times, and they would like curate the perfumes like in very sophisticated way. And also a lot of men, especially Gen Z, they take perfume making workshops as hobbies. And I would say this is also like a form of shift in masculine activities, basically.
I love this shift in masculine activities. Nick, that fits into something we've tracked and we've talked about before. Can you elaborate a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, during, you know, as a product of the lockdown sort of era, we noticed that hobbies like gardening, ceramics, painting, drawing, all these sort of creative and nurturing hobbies, like literally watching things grow, were suddenly, you know, really okay for men in a way that they weren't before. So it's just great to see that the notions of wellness and well-being tipping into that world. And you've got brands indulging in that as well. Like there's a brand called Bram's Fruit, who their whole ethos is around gardening and nurturing. So it's already translating in that way.
I want to introduce two Korean brands, which are like hugely gaining popularity in here in Korea. And I think it has to do with the Gen Z's like wellness focus these days and like how male are tuning into these like traditionally feminine and like nurturing activities. Because in Korea these days, like appreciating art is a really massive trend, I think. Like, I think I've heard the news that in Freeze, the art fair in Korea, it just opened, well, they were held in Seoul for the first time last year. And then I think they had like the record selling figure among Korean younger consumers. And so with this being said, I think beauty brands are really trying to meet this demand where younger generations are tuning into going to art galleries and just enjoying this high class cultural activities. Because when you actually visit these flagship stores or beauty brands, it's almost like entering an art gallery, because like all the products are just so aesthetically displayed, and they're actually accompanied by like this huge sculptures or art installations by famous artists. So I think like beauty brands are trying to meet this like priorities of Gen Z. And as much as like male consumers visit these stores, they purchase those products and they use those products. So I think it just makes more common for males to use beauty products.
Oh, right. Okay. Bringing the cultural side in, that's really interesting. Is that something you've seen, Sienna, as well?
I mean, we've actually seen it. We've been tracking it in South Korea as well. We feel like it's really booming there. And I know, Jaehyun, you're probably thinking about Tambourines and their insane perfume store with that crazy art sculpture of a naked man in their store. If you could check out an image, it's absolutely like mind-blowing. Yeah, we've been seeing this a lot, especially as well with packaging. So we've seen a huge trend, and we're seeing it especially in the male grooming industry, as your packaging is an object of art that you display in the home. It's an art piece. It's not just something that you throw away, and it's made of really kind of high quality materials like glass, ceramics, wood. Again, having that great sustainability story behind it, but actually it's a collectible art piece. So really bringing in that element of art and collectibility to appealing to the Gen Z audience as well. And then obviously replicating that in the retail stores. I think there was also a South Korean collaboration. I think the brand was called Graffin, and they did a line with the Korean rapper Benzino, and they did a pop-up in store, which is really amazing to see. And what was really interesting is all the products were bath and body products, so like candles and perfumes and body washes, but they were all scented with lemon and bergamot, which is not typically, I would say, in a masculine, traditionally masculine scent, and with a wrapper as well, which is even more kind of untraditional. But and then having the kind of pop-up event as well, where you could go and you could have the chance to meet the artist as well, kind of brings that all together. So yeah, we're definitely seeing it in the kind of APAC region. And I feel like it probably will translate over to the, you know, EU, US as well.
Great. So there seems to be a big future for men and makeup, and lots of opportunities for brands. And I can also feel an episode on fragrance, from beauty to interiors, may be a future topic for us to explore on our Create Tomorrow podcast. Thank you to our head of beauty, Sienna Piccioni, senior strategist, Nick Padgett, and Jaehoon Park, fashion editor and trend forecaster based in Seoul, South Korea, for taking time to speak to me today and offer insights on this rising trend of more and more men wearing makeup. We reflected on this new wave of makeup for men, the pioneering brands catering for this, and the part that celebrities are playing. And let's not forget eyebrow tattoos, which could be the next big thing. If you're a WGSN subscriber, you'll find reports covering many of the topics we touched upon at our beauty section on the platform. And if you want to find out how to subscribe, head over to WGSN.com to discover how you can get access to our service. We're constantly publishing new content focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for our industries. And these include food and drink, interiors, beauty, fashion, and consumer tech. You can subscribe on all major podcast platforms. And if you like what you've heard, why not leave us a rating and review on iTunes? So we'll be back in 2 weeks for our next episode. And you can catch the CEO of WGSN, Carla Buzashi, next week on our other podcast, Lives of Tomorrow. Do listen, it's fantastic. And there we'll be looking at the future of social media care culture. And otherwise, we'll be back in 2 weeks.